o'clock hour of Meemaw and Pawpaw
begins now.
Jesse, how is the text line treated old T today between the, again, privately at least, some mixed reviews on Tausch interviewing Tausch? And then confusing Tyler Bus for Tim Bus. And then the critique that he received for the whole tornado room situation with the reservation. How is he being treated by our fans? I don't even want to look in the YouTube comments.
Joe in Manitowoc, during Tausch's appearance on Wilde and Tausch, yes, it really does sound like a smart football conversation happening on Wilde and Tausch. So I think that's a compliment. Then Joe in Manitowoc, old T's great show slowly going in the dumpster during trivia. Jerry out in Canton, Ohio, it's stuff like this that make this Tausch's favorite show in the air. And then another text here from a 262 number that earlier had said, I needed another day off because I forgot to put trivia together. Following up with, never mind, obviously Tausch is the one who needs some time off.
He'll be getting some.
Yeah. Yeah, he might be right.
So, Jesse, tell the truth, because that's what we do here. Did you intentionally leave trivia off, or did you forget to put it in?
I intentionally left trivia off when I made the show sheet last
night. I'm going to take your word for it on that.
Why on earth?
I don't understand why you would do
Friday that. Friday is our busiest day.
It is.
We have headlines, and we have Steinhoff.
Domofsky.
And we got the green and gold pre. You got Domofsky. Why would you do that? And we're on remote.
Yes, I'm aware. I thought it would be fun if we had one Alabama category tomorrow and one Indianapolis Colts category, with it being such a huge football weekend across the state, to do both simultaneously. Clearly, I made that decision. I should not have made that decision alone. I went rogue on you guys. I apologize, and I won't make that mistake again.
I don't. It just didn't make any sense. I don't understand. Like, one of the guests, I know it was a fun shtick. Some thought it was stupid, it appears, but others thought it was a fun shtick.
I think that was mostly positive reviews from everything I've seen on Tausch's appearance.
I've got some people making requests for previous guests who used to discuss the Badgers to make comebacks. That's what I'm getting at. It's not from him specifically. Because that's what I would have expected there. But I'm looking through these comments. There were people that really enjoyed it on the YouTube stream, so that's good. I am encouraged by that. I don't understand, though. Tausch was a pretend guest. He was still Tausch. And so it's not like we really had two legitimate guests. There was no reason to bail on trivia today. It didn't. Logistically, it made no sense whatsoever. So you just made the wrong call. That's all.
Wrong call, that's all.
Indeed. Now that was good. Well done.
We're back.
Speaking of,
I just couldn't get in. I couldn't get in my head that Tim Bus wasn't Tyler Bus. I don't know why. That was weird. I apologize to Tyler, not to Tim.
Okay, well, before
I think Tim's going to be called, I think he's going to be Pawpaw.
That would make a lot more sense. Yeah. All right. Before we move forward,
the whole thing's falling apart.
Yeah, it's a struggle here. Well, let's see what Max Tauscher here thinks of the NFL power rankings.
That's right, because we also didn't do power rankings on Tuesday. So here we are with this week's ESPN NFL power rankings after 1 week in the books. Tausch, the Packers were ranked number 10. Heading into week one, they are no longer number 10. Where do you think they are after a 34-29 loss to the Philadelphia Eagles in Brazil?
I think lucky number 13.
Well, let's find out. Do you want to guess the top, or do you just want me to run down the teams and you can object as you feel? Because that typically is what happens.
Yeah, let me object. I'm assuming. I want to see how many I'll get right, though. Kansas City, San Francisco is 1-2.
That is correct.
Who really looked good last week?
Why does Pablo have his arms crossed like he's working as a bouncer in that room. Like, he's not going to allow anyone in or something.
He's just cool. He's got a cool approach.
He's got a cool demeanor.
Cool nature. Yeah.
Yeah. I wouldn't
mess with him. Know who would be three.
How about a team with a big prime time win? Yep. The Detroit Lions are number three.
All right. Okay. I have no problem with that. All right, continue on. Who's four? Blah, blah, blah.
The Baltimore Ravens, an 0-1 team, number four in the rankings.
I can buy that. They played Kansas City tough and had a, you know, a toe being in bounds. They, you know, they maybe win that game. So, yeah, I'll buy that.
Number five, the Philadelphia Eagles. They look pretty good. They were better than I thought they were going to look against the Packers.
Okay.
Number six, the Houston Texans.
Yeah, everybody loves Houston.
Ran for a lot of yards.
Yeah, they won a game. They beat the Colts. Yeah, all right. I don't have any major objections so far.
Number seven, the Dallas Cowboys. Up
four spots. That was an impressive win.
Yeah.
That was an impressive win by Mike. I thought that their quarterback would get killed. I didn't know what they had at left tackle, center. CeeDee Lamb's first, you know, real work.
Mm-hmm.
So, Mike and what Zimmer did to a really inept Cleveland offense, I'll be fascinated. It looks as if they're trying to find a way. Yeah. I think they're trying to find a way to get out of this Deshaun Watson contract. And there's another accusation, allegedly, that has been out there. And I'm guessing if he's not their quarterback, that's a playoff team. We saw that last year. He plays like he did last week. That team ain't going anywhere fast. And they're saddled with, I think, three more years of guaranteed money. So I
Why
would not want to be a Browns fan right now. Oasis.
Yep, that's exactly right. Yep,
I
the mirage.
I need someone to fill that spot. Yep. And
yeah, you're right. That's exactly why.
Numbers 8 and 9 in the power rankings play each other this week.
Miami and Buffalo.
That's correct. Buffalo is 8, Miami is 9. It's a fun Thursday night game tonight. I'm looking forward to watching
that.
Yeah,
it's a good Thursday night tilt tonight. Very good Thursday night tilt. I can't believe there was a time that I thought more about player safety and not about entertainment as an analyst. Because I used to be, they can't play all these Thursday night games, and the league has basically told me, don't worry about it. Don't care about player safety, entertain me, and this is going to be an entertaining Thursday night game.
Number 10, where the Packers had previously occupied in the rankings.
Tausch was being facetious, by the way.
Yes,
narrator.
Yeah. We should have him call in again and share more of what he thinks.
Criticize Tausch for not caring about player safety anymore.
Number 10, the Los Angeles Rams, who lost to the Lions in overtime on Sunday night. Number 11.
Can I tell you guys a little secret about the Rams?
Sure.
Sure.
Puka's going to be out a while. They're down to their third or fourth string left tackle.
From what I understand, the door's pretty open for Puka to play this week.
I think they IR'd him, did they not?
He is on IR.
They did,
yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Hey, boys. Rams in trouble.
So who steps up then? Like, is another NFC team a playoff team if the Rams are not?
I'm not Johnny Overreactor.
Chicago?
Tampa Bay's going to be good. No, Tampa Bay's going to be pretty good. I don't know. Atlanta is such an enigma.
Mm.
I don't know if they're already talking about benching Kirk Cousins.
He did
this
not look good.
No,
he looks
he
hurt.
He's
still
coming off an Achilles. He's 37
right.
years old,
right.
man.
He looks like he's not healthy enough to be their starter. And they traded away Taylor Heinicke, who would be starting for them because they don't want to start Penix right away.
Well, that's where you need this mandatory red shirt to Thanksgiving rule. Mandatory MR.
Mandatory red shirt.
Just
got to get some.
Stick with
in
no
there.
Frosh but play till Thanksgiving Day. That one works best.
Something of that ilk, because the noises are going to pick up about playing Penix and getting him in there.
Bad idea.
I don't know if Atlanta's got the constitution to not do it. And that's trouble. So is somebody going to elevate themselves? Unfortunately, it might be the Bears, and I might end up having to be again, I didn't make any financial wagers, allegedly, but I did not think that the Bears would be making the playoffs. I still don't, but if the Rams, somebody else got a, and it might be them Bears. Although, if you ask Minnesota people, they think they got the world, they think they got it all figured out now. Minnesota folks think if the Vikings are back, Skol, all this other stuff. And I always haste, I always make sure you understand who you played. You just beat one of the worst teams in the league.
Before we move forward, for those of you that are watching on the video stream, now I am familiar with Pablo Iglesias' fantastic TV work. Like, I will say this behind his back. I have said this behind his back. I will say it to his face now. We are really lucky to have stolen him from the world of TV. He is a great addition to our team. What the hell is he clapping for when Tausch is talking about the Bears?
He's a Bears fan.
Is this in any way part of the interviewing process? Like, Jim Rutledge isn't enough in that office?
Well, that's why I'm not giving Pablo a microphone yet.
Has he not been cleared for air?
Nope.
Guy was on TV 7 nights a week.
I'm not 100% sure. Again, I don't want to get into the weeds here. I don't even know what the clearing for air. Like,
you never
were. I don't understand that whole process.
Tausch the guest, I think, still has some processes to go through.
And a better phone connection. You should get the new iPhone.
The Steelers are 11. The Green Bay Packers, we finally get to at number 12 in the power rankings.
Yeah.
Where were they before?
They were 10th, so they dropped two spots.
Do you not listen?
And they are just in front of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers in this week's rankings.
Now, Tampa looked good. No, they played a bad team, too, so you could say, what about the Vikings? I get it. They won their division last year, guys. They had the Lions on the ropes in the playoffs.
They did.
Guys.
Yeah, guys. Hey, guys.
There's something about Baker now. You think the Cleveland Browns wish they would trade Baker?
Can they trade Deshaun Watson to the Buccaneers to get Baker back?
If you don't think that the Cleveland Browns would, they would trade him and a first-round pick to get Baker right now if they take that contract.
But no one's going to take that contract.
No, we know no one's taking it. We're just saying that's how unhappy they are.
No blank, blank.
They're miserable.
That's why I said it.
All right. I want to get back to the Packers because as much as I'd love to talk about Deshaun Watson and the struggles that are the Cleveland Browns, I'm guessing that in Cleveland – they are saying, pour me in, coach, someone other than Deshaun Watson. And in Green Bay, they're saying the door is pretty open, but they're probably going to be pouring in Malik Willis, coach.
Tito's Handmade Vodka on game day? Pour me in, coach. From a seat in the stands to the best seat on the couch, root, root, root for your favorite team with your favorite team spirit. Stack a spicy bloody. Salt the rim of a Tito-rita or take home the win with a Tito's, and I don't care what else you put in it, soda, cranberry, water, whatever, you're calling a game, you change up your roster, you wash that lucky jersey as long as you make Tito's your first round bottle pick. Whose house? Oh, it's Tito's house. Find cocktail recipes for every fan at titosvodka.com, crafted to be savored responsibly.
Run your game! Oh, wait, that's the next segment. All right, I want to talk a little more about Malik Willis. I know he's not playing on Sunday because Jordan Love's going to play. But in the unlikely event that Malik Willis does start at quarterback for the Packers, let's talk a little bit about the challenges that that presents and what Matt LaFleur can do to make it easier for him. We'll talk about that next. It's Wilde and Tausch.
This is Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. Call Gina Della from Pella today, 855-PELLA-WI, and online at PellaWI.com/radio.
So, Jordan Love, the door is pretty open. We'll find out later today. They're practicing, I believe, at 11:40 today. So we'll find out soon whether or not he's out there. Now, Malik Willis did tell us that he came down for team periods and did the mental reps and was there trying to help Malik get ready in the unlikely event that he's going to play. But look, let's drop the pretense here. The more likely scenario and the one that they are preparing for is for Malik Willis to play quarterback on Sunday for the Green Bay Packers against the Indianapolis Colts at Lambeau Field. Tausch, what are the things that Matt LaFleur can do, along with Adam Stenovich and Tom Clements and Jason Vrabel, to make this effective, to make this easier, to give Malik Willis the best chance of succeeding? Because that's what coaches are supposed to do.
Yeah, you play to his skill set, you play to his strengths, you find out what plays he likes, and my guess, find easy throws, especially early in this game, that are going to build some confidence. And to me, I'm looking at this saying, if it's not play action, if it's not bootlegs, early in the game, I think you're doing a disservice. I don't want – this can't be a third and six game where you're constantly dropping back and having to negotiate with the pass rush and the blitz packages and everything else. You need to make this a – much like I just told you kind of about the Alabama-Wisconsin game.
Mm-hmm.
You have to look at it. How can we stay in regular down a distance? And that's got to come down to your O-line, running the football, Josh Jacobs, getting it where you're looking at a lot of second and sixes, a lot of third and two, you know, third and twos, third and threes. And if you can do that, you can really keep the defense, you know, I guess kind of at arm's length. So when you're trying to figure out how to do that, I think it's got to be a heavy bootleg, heavy play action. Sell that run, get those big, wide-open windows. And this is Matt LaFleur. This is where we got to see the genius of Matt LaFleur. Everybody
yep.
tells us he's an offensive guru, and Matt LaFleur has been a really good coach. He schemes people open, and it's a heck of a lot easier to scheme people open when you have a really good running game with a really good quarterback, which is what he has been afforded for the most part outside of maybe that first half of last season when we didn't know. Now we don't know. And it's on you to scheme and figure some easy plays out that are going to allow Malik Willis to gain some confidence and get moving so that you know he can have some success on Sunday.
All right, the other thing that I'm really curious about, and of course they're not going to tell us how they're going to go about it, but you know, you made the comment at the beginning of the week that they're going to have to ride Josh Jacobs, they're going to have to run the football. Offensive linemen love to run the football, right? They get after guys as opposed to going backwards to pass protect. But if the Indianapolis Colts, who A, gave up 213 yards rushing, the most in the league in week one on 40 attempts, and took it from Joe Mixon to the tune of 159 yards, and B, so they're focused on improving that, and you know Gus Bradley is all about the run defense this week when you get gashed that way. And B, when everybody in the building knows you're going to want to run the football to take the heat off your backup quarterback if he plays, how on earth are you effective in the run game if they're loading the box, if they know you're going to run, and they have devoted their week of practice to saying, we can't let these guys run all over us the way we allowed the Texans to. What's the secret? What's the secret sauce here to run effectively anyway, despite the circumstances?
Well, I think you have to utilize the running ability of your quarterback, and that doesn't mean you're going to be running the old school triple option or anything like that. It's, you know, really forcing their hand how they want to approach the edge. Do you want to crash a defensive end down, force the quarterback to hold, you know, to run it, and then have a safety down that opens up some of the mm-hmm. those passing windows? That'll make it easier. But yeah, I think that's where Matt LaFleur's got to figure out, you know, the adjustments early in this game to figure out how, you know, what Gus Bradley is thinking about doing, seeing it, and then adjusting off of it. Because I don't think right now he doesn't know. He's going to have ideas, just like they don't necessarily know. They could fool everybody and run Christian Watson on a slaughter route down the left sideline and hit him for a big touchdown. Next thing you know, it's boom, boom, boom. So that's the beauty of this whole thing. But the bottom line is you need to have something to combat that eight-man box with some edge, you know, the edge crashing and getting some stuff out on the perimeter, and whether that's jet sweeps, which I would bet you're going to see a lot of that motion with Jaden Reed and Watson, and that is something that manipulates and force the defensive side of the football to make some adjustments if they're having a hard time picking that up. Screen game, there's all kinds of things that you have to figure out what is going to work, but you better find out what your quarterback is good at and how you're going to execute it.
Jesse, I know that you and Tausch play your prize picks every week. Tausch is Mr. Prize Picks, Mr. PP. Do we have projections yet for Malik Willis, or because we're talking about Jordan Love playing, are there no prize picks projections?
I hadn't looked, Jason. You know, we usually do prize picks of the week on Friday.
I'm not asking you to make your picks.
We're doing trivia.
Since we're not doing the double trivia, we have extra time for it tomorrow.
I'm not asking you to make your picks. I'm just asking if he's on the board yet or not.
I am checking right now, and
I would bet neither of nobody from Green Bay.
Right, that's what I would guess as well.
There's Aaron Rodgers scrolling.
He doesn't play for Green Bay.
For the Jets.
I do not see Malik Willis nor Jordan Love on the board yet.
That's the question I wanted answered.
Yeah, I did see Caleb Williams 0.5 again this week.
Yeah.
Might be
baby,
close.
You know old T loves that one. I got to win this time around. I did not with Watson last week, but Prize Picks is America's number one daily fantasy sports app with over 5 million active members. Prize Picks, the easiest and most exciting way to play daily fantasy sports, and unlike other apps, Prize Picks, it's just UV the numbers. All you do, pick more or less on a 2-6 player stat projections. I'm going to go 3 this week. I didn't get it done with 2. Caleb at 0.5, that's a whoop. And then I'm going to look and figure the rest out. Sign up today, get $50 instantly when you play $5. So you don't even need to win to receive that $50 bonus. It's guaranteed. Download the Prize Picks app today. Use that code WI and you get a first deposit match of up to $100. That's code WI on Prize Picks for a first deposit match of up to $100. Prize Picks, run
your
game.
As much as I'd love to play Whoa Pablo, he's not cleared to play yet, apparently. So instead, just a run of the mill old Whoa Nelly. Is next. It's Wildy and Tausch.
This is Wildy and Tausch, driven by Zimbrick Chevrolet in Sun Prairie on 100.5 ESPN. See their full inventory at ZimbrickChevrolet.com.
Time now for Whoa Nelly.
If the topic is good, the guys discuss.
Just the other morning, I had breakfast at Tracy Siraka's house. His mama brought out 15 flapjacks. He said, mama, take back 5 of them flapjacks. I gotta stay hungry for the Crimson Tide.
But if it's not, the show must go on. It's time for
Whoa Nelly
on Wildy and Tausch.
Jason, do you remember the date on which R-E-L-A-X was said by Aaron Rodgers to you on Tuesdays with Aaron?
I don't know. I saw Ian Rappaport recalling it. It was very early in the 2014 season. September, I don't know, should I say September 12th? Is today the 10-year anniversary of it?
I don't think it is, but I'm reading this story from Rich Cimini, Jets reporter for ESPN.com, the Rob Domofsky of the New York Jets. He does point out that this is the 10-year anniversary of R-E-L-A-X, which feels like yesterday.
It doesn't, though. It doesn't feel like yesterday.
A thing or two has happened since then, sure. But Aaron Rodgers was channeling that during his Jets press conference after Monday night's loss. I think we always have to stay relaxed, he said to the media. It's a long season. I think at times people think the season is like you're out in the prairie or the desert and you're moving around trying to find water. But it's more like a nice, slow bolero where we're just swaying with the music and reacting to whatever comes to us and through us, just trying to not get too high with the highs or too low with the lows.
Was this audio not available? We had to have you dramatically read it.
I told Pablo to get it. He had no idea where to find it, so no, it wasn't available to us. Yeah, it's too bad. I thought I did a pretty good job reenacting.
No offense, Jesse, but is there some way? I don't even want to go down that road. I'd like Pablo to be trained to actually grab audio. I think this is super interesting in the fact that he knows that this team
is teetering.
Did I say boom or bust? Mm-hmm. Yeah, he knows. It's not the same confident R-E-L-A-X as
Relax.
He did with you.
We're going to be all right.
That was a good football team.
Yeah.
This is not that. He knows. He's been around ball enough to know that things go sideways quick, especially with an organization that has no history of success outside of 1969. They haven't been to a playoffs in forever. And that culture stinks, and he knows it. So he's trying his best, but this is a – who do they play this weekend?
Titans.
Tennessee?
Yep.
No, UWI.
Oshkosh.
This is a must-win game. What's the Oshkosh? I don't understand.
They're the Titans. He said they play the Titans. You said Tennessee? As if there was a chance that they were playing UW Oshkosh.
Like there's another the Titans.
I didn't hear. Remember the Titans. Actually, that might be a little precursor.
The mighty,
to tomorrow,
mighty Titans. Who we are.
This is a must-win. Must-win game for them on Sunday.
Oh.
It's been quite a show.
Whoa, Nelly!
Who do you think is more...
You interrupted me, and I just thought that it'd be good for me to...
Interrupted you? You didn't even know what Jesse said.
You
That's what led to
all that. You asked a clarifying question on which Titans the Jets play on Sunday.
You think I didn't hear... I never heard Titans. All right, let's move on.
Before we move on, who do you think is more miserable right now or is in position to have a more miserable season? Aaron Rodgers with the Jets or Devontae Adams with the Raiders? And at any point, will both of them say, I wish I would have known it was the good old days while I was in them and we'd have just both found a way to stay in Green Bay?
I think the ego would probably not let either do that.
Sure.
But I guarantee you both are thinking... We had it pretty good back in Green Bay.
This isn't going well, indeed. Next!
Whoa, Nelly!
The Milwaukee Brewers in a pennant race lost 13-2 last night to the San Francisco Giants. I was excited to watch the game. I like the West Coast games. Turned it on at 8:45 by like 10 after 9. They were down 8-0. Not a great start last night for the crew. Get a bad one out of the way. Jake Bowers did come in and pitch the final inning on the mound for Milwaukee. Where does this show stand on position players pitching in baseball? Because people seem to be heated when that happens and outraged that people would just give up on a game and send a position player in to go throw when it's out of reach. I don't mind it. What do you guys think?
I don't mind it either, but I don't love it. What do you love about it? What do you love about
it? It keeps the 13-2 game compelling.
Exactly. It makes it interesting.
I'm asking Jason, Jesse.
Sorry.
What do you love about it?
It makes it interesting.
What do you hate about it?
My jaw drops. That's what that was.
I don't think it's interesting. I actually want the Major League Baseball to implement the 10-run rule after 7 innings. And then this will stop all this foolishness. Just go home. 10-run rule. After 7.
Whoa, Nelly!
I actually agree. I think they should do a 10-run rule. No one's coming back from down 10 after 7
Every
innings.
Other league, I don't know if college does it, but high school does it. Babe Ruth does it. 13U does it. 10U does it. Let's start. Let's keep some consistency here. I know Jocko. Tell you what, Jocko won't like that. He loves those 15-inning games where you're there till 3 in the morning.
NBC 15 in Madison, Jocko. Last one for you. The Pac-12 appears as though it is going to live on.
What?
Announced this morning, four teams currently in the Mountain West Conference: Boise State, Fresno State, San Diego State, and Colorado State intend to join Washington State and Oregon State in the Pac-12. They would need two more teams to be a sustainable conference of eight teams, which is the minimum.
The Pac-8, which is what they used to be.
By the time the 2026 season rolls around. So they still need two more. Should we be disbanding the Pac-12, or are we cheering for it to live on? Jason, you seem pretty passionate about this.
I've been a Pac-10, Pac-12. I'm not quite old enough to be Pac-8 guy. So I would love for them to figure out a way, because it is a historic conference, more so than the Mountain West. How long has the Mountain West been around? There was the WCC before that, right? The West Coast Conference?
That's still a separate thing, yeah.
It stinks that two state schools that had in-state rivals will now be playing each other in a non-conference scenario, with Washington State and Oregon State not being in the same conference.
Apple Cup.
Who's interrupting now?
Apple Cup this weekend on Peacock.
And also,
they play this weekend?
Yeah.
So Washington State and Oregon wow. State are the same weekend?
Yeah, how about that?
Wow. What are they calling Oregon State now? Because I think they've decided that they can't call it the Civil War anymore.
I don't know. What would a duck and a beaver fight over? The pond?
Wood?
Yeah, maybe. Wood?
I'd fight over wood.
What's a duck going to do with wood?
Not sure. Look, I just out of curiosity, I noticed that my cable system has dropped the Pac-12 network because it no longer exists. Does that mean that will make a comeback too then? Do they have to reorganize their TV network so they can broadcast those big Fresno State, Boise State volleyball matches?
Don't see that one coming back, no.
Whoa, Nelly.
That's the wrong button, but we're all out of time anyway.
A strong effort for all of us on this program. Pablo's had the best show of anybody.
There is no doubt about that.
We'll wrap things up next. It's Wildy and Tausch.
This is Wildy and Tausch, brought to you by Grassland Butter. Grassland Dairy is Wisconsin. Learn more at grasslandbutter.com.
Show. Now, Tausch, you just sent me some breaking news. Is Bruce City Paul a good source for Bucks news?
I don't know.
Well, he reports that the Milwaukee Bucks have a new minority owner as Junior Bridgman has bought a 10% stake in the franchise. Junior Bridgman, the former Buck, who is a very, very successful businessman. Pretty I think he dude. Started with a bunch of Arby's, right?
I think Wendy's, I think. But maybe it's Arby's. I don't know.
Hmm.
Could be both.
We were less than thrilled with the involvement of the Cleveland Browns owner in the Milwaukee Bucks when we talked about that. What does this tell you, if anything? Because you obviously found this very interesting.
Well, what it told me, what I found interesting about it, again, and this is reported, I'm not a journalist, but $400 million, 10%, that means $4 billion. Is that math correct? What it's valued at?
If that's what he paid, yeah.
That's what's intriguing. It's great. I think it's awesome to get his involvement. I think he's obviously been an uber successful businessman and history and all that. I think that's all great. It's
numbers in the rafters.
But $4 billion. It's a lot.
It's a billion with a B. That's a lot of money, is what you're saying.
So that's what I found. I mean, obviously, a couple components of that I found interesting, but that's what I found interesting about it.
I wonder if does that mean does Aaron Rodgers still have that ownership stake, or did he like?
If it does, that means his ownership stake has done very nicely.
Yeah,
over the years,
it has indeed.
That's what that would tell.
All right. Well, the Bucks are not something we discuss at length on this program.
Jason, I got a little homework assignment for you today. When you go over to Lambeau, Edgerrin Cooper, how much is he going to play? I got a hunch they're going to ramp it up because I think he. That's something I want you to find out. Talk to that young man today if you can.
All right, and I'll talk to Jeff Hafley about him as well. We're going to talk to him a little bit later today, too. All right, that's it for us today. We will do it again tomorrow. Thanks to Evan Cohen. Thanks to Mark Tauscher, who joined us as a guest. Thanks to Pablo
really
Iglesias, who is the only person who didn't make a mistake on the show. And thanks to you for coming along for the ride with us today. Have a great day. Take care. Be good.
Miss any of today's episode of Wildy and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin? Commercial-free full show podcasts are available free on Wisconsin On Demand.